Gene Simmons, Peter Criss, Paul Stanley, Ace Frehley, Kiss.
Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, you're listening to Rock and or Roll, I'm BJ. First things first, I need to talk to you about the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. We're trying to do it again this year, but the fundraising has been slow going. We have raised the money to cover the venue, but that's it. The idea behind the expo is a group of rock and roll podcasters and hopefully podcast listeners from across North America gather together in Nashville once a year to celebrate rock history, music fandom, and rock podcasting. Last year we had our own little record show with vinyl and memorabilia from vendors, and we're doing that again this year. And we also had special guests like Mark Slaughter, Gunnar Nelson, the guys from Tora Tora, Raven showed up for a little bit, and we're planning on having similar guests this year. But in order to do all of this, we need to cover some expenses, and we need some funds in order to bring all of these podcasters and maybe some special guests to Nashville. So we need to raise money for the expo. So here's what we're going to do. There will be some great panel discussions at the expo. For example, last year we had a songwriting panel with Anthony from Tora Tora and Gunnar Nelson and Walter Egan and Robert White Johnson. It was a great panel discussion. And we're going to have panels like that again this year. And the audio of those panels that will happen at the Rock and Pod Expo, we're going to release that audio, but only to people who contribute at least $10 to the GoFundMe, which is www.gofundme.com/rocknpod2018. I will put links on Facebook and at the blog page. And if you Google Rock and Pod 2018, the GoFundMe is the fourth link down on the search results page. So look, $10 isn't very much. Actually, $10 is how much I pay per month to be able to upload and store my podcast episodes on Podbean. And if enough people pitch in $10, we can fund the expo and grow this thing. Because we're hoping it will grow. It's really just about celebrating music fandom. And anybody listening to this podcast, obviously, is a big music fan. So please, go to the GoFundMe, www.gofundme.com/rocknpod2018. Or like I said, Google rocknpod2018. You'll see the link right there, four down. And if enough people pitch in just $10... we can fund it. So do it now, not later. We need the funds now to start getting everything in order. So please just go chip in 10 bucks and then your name will go on a list and you will be able to hear all of the cool audio that will come out of the expo and lots more. All the podcasts involved are going to contribute exclusive episodes that you will only get to hear if you contribute at least $10 to the Rock and Pod 2018 GoFundMe. So please, just click over to GoFundMe right now or ASAP. Drop $10 in the hat. Make sure to write rock and or roll in the comments so you can make me look good. And I really hope to see a response to this because it's important to me and it's important to our podcast community and we want to grow this thing. So I really appreciate it. And actually, I hope to see you there in Nashville. If you can come on down, $10 will cover your admission. If you want to chip in $20, it will cover your early admission. So you'll get in an hour early and get to check out all the cool vinyl and memorabilia before everybody else. But please go and just chip in at least 10 bucks to the GoFundMe for the Rock and Pod Expo. It's going to happen in August. but we need the money sooner rather than later so we can get travel expenses covered. Got to get insurance for the venue. We've got, you know, numerous different expenses, and we need to know we have things covered. And then if we have enough money, we can even pay special guests to come to the expo, and we could try to make it bigger and bigger every year if we're going to keep this thing going. But we can only keep it going if we get help from our listeners. All right, so that's out of the way, but since I wanted as many people as possible to hear that pitch at the beginning, I wanted to make this episode an episode that the maximum number of people hopefully would download, so that's why I made it a KISS episode. I haven't really done many KISS episodes of the podcast of Rock and or Roll. As you may know, I have participated in quite a few episodes of the podcast, so there's plenty of me talking about KISS out there on the internet over at podkissed.com. But I do have a lot to say about KISS, so I do like having this opportunity to talk about KISS on Rock and or Roll. Recently, Eddie Trunk shared his top 20 KISS songs, and then other people started joining in, and it became kind of a thing to make your top 20 KISS songs list. And listener Terry Means, who's been on the show a couple of times, he was on the Worst of KISS episode. And he sent me a message asking me to do my top 20 favorite KISS songs. So I did it, and I figured, let's do an episode, because I haven't done a lot of KISS episodes, and they've been one of my favorite bands since I was 5 years old. So KISS was my gateway, and where it led at first was heavy metal in the 80s. But KISS were a classic 70s rock band, and I developed a real love for 70s rock. And also, KISS started out as basically a glam rock band. And glam rock in America was not as prevalent or as plentiful as in Europe, but KISS, the kind of America's answer to Slade, but they're really a glam rock band from the 70s, which I love. One of my favorite things, glam rock from the 70s, love it. Second thing I covered on the podcast after Power Pop. Now, KISS would go on to explore different styles with the solo albums, then with Dynasty and Unmasked. That's 78, 79, 80, and then 81, The Elder, the concept album. So growing up, to me, these were all just KISS albums, and I loved them all. I just got them in whatever order I got them, because I started listening, you know, when Crazy Nights had just come out, from what I remember. 12, 13 is when I started collecting all the KISS albums, and just loved them all. So I don't really know how taste develops or evolves, but there's no denying that KISS played a major role in shaping my taste in music, I think. So maybe my love for power pop comes from being exposed to Unmasked early on. I don't know, but really most of the music I like can be traced back to KISS or the same roots as KISS or whatever. So I like certain kinds of songs for the most part. It usually revolves around guitar, bass, drums, and a killer melody. KISS had that in spades. Problem is, KISS are not taken seriously by a lot of people. For a variety of reasons, I guess. But it bothers me because they were a great band with great songs. Recently, at the Gene Simmons Vault Experience in St. Louis, Ace Frehley said, "We did the solo albums just 4 years after the first album? That can't be right." In 4 years, they released an amazing quantity of music, much of it great. They had a great sound, and they had great songs. And look, I loved, 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 and still love the whole KISS mystique. Of course, I really loved it when I was a kid, but I still love it. The whole spectacle of KISS was amazing. But also, they had the songs to back it up. They really did. Despite what smug detractors who don't even know the catalog a lot of the times might imply, hey, if it's not your taste, it's not your taste. But I can tell you, as a fan of this kind of music, as a big collector of this kind of music, I could tell you, KISS wrote great songs and made some great records. Many people accuse KISS of following trends in the 80s. But almost all of those bands in the 80s, heavy metal, glam metal, they were inspired by KISS. And the heavy metal music Kiss made in the 80s was not very far removed from the music they made in the 70s, as far as I can tell. Production changed a bit, but the songwriting style of Kiss in the 80s, not drastically different from Kiss in the 70s. And as you will soon hear, I love a lot of Kiss songs from the 80s, especially the ones written by Paul Stanley. Paul Stanley was an extremely talented songwriter, in my opinion, but I think fact. The legacy of Kiss has been somewhat tarnished over the years by this douchey character that Gene Simmons has been playing in the press and on TV, even though he's secretly a really nice person. The legacy of Kiss has been somewhat tarnished by dressing Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer up as Ace and Peter and continuing to tour after the Farewell tour. The legacy of Kiss has been somewhat tarnished by Gene and Paul and many fans at times being dismissive of the role that Ace and Peter played in shaping the band's sound and making the band successful. Peter Criss left the band because he had a big hit with Beth. He got a big head. He thought he could go be a star on his own. Maybe there were people in his ear. Maybe it was just the voices in his head. He was never the brightest bulb, but he was a great drummer for Kiss. But when he left Kiss, it was because he thought he could go have a solo career. That's why Peter left. When Gene and Paul linked up with Peter Criss, they were nobodies. And they let it all ride on this band with these guys. They didn't take these choices lightly. When they chose Ace Frehley over Bob Kulick, it was because they saw something special and they were right. It's not easy to form a successful band. It's not easy to play in a successful band. You have to be really good and you have to work really hard. And all four of them were really good and worked really hard. All four. Ace Frehley left the band when their career was tanking. He jumped off a sinking ship. After Unmasked and The Elder, he ditched Gene and Paul. And they were resentful about it. And it's understandable. But the narrative that Peter and Ace were fuck-ups and Gene and Paul carried the band, it's complete and utter nonsense. It's a rewriting of history. In 5 years, 74 to 79, Kiss made 7 studio albums, 4 solo albums. They released 2 double live albums. They played, 1,000 gigs? And they built a brand that is as strong as ever 40 plus years later. And those 4 guys did all of that in 5 years. It was never smooth sailing and they made mistakes, all of them. But those 4 guys accomplished something astonishing in those 5 years especially. And it wasn't luck or a fluke. It was risk, talent, imagination, dedication, and hard work. Thank you, Paul, Gene, Ace, and Peter, for bringing something wonderful into the world that I've derived so much enjoyment from. My top 20 Kiss songs. This list has definitely changed over the years, but these are my personal favorites. These are the Kiss songs right now that I enjoy listening to the most. But there are a lot of Kiss songs that I love that didn't make this list. I could make a top 50 Kiss songs easy and love them all. I could probably make a top 100 Kiss songs easy and love them all. The solo albums were not included. I guess that's how Eddie Trunk did it. And Terry Means implied that's how I should do it. And that definitely made it easier. I love the solo albums. There are at least 5, 6 or more contenders for this top 20 list from the solo albums. And that would have just complicated everything. So I didn't mind leaving out the solo albums, but I love the solo albums. So now I'm just going to go through my list, my top 20 Kiss songs. Start at 20, go to number 1. Just talk about the songs a little bit, but I don't have any notes for this part, so I'm just going to talk. So, number 20 on my list, one of the few songs written by Gene Simmons that made my list. This list, you're going to find out, is predominantly Paul Stanley's songs. At number 20 is a Gene Simmons song from their 1985 album, Asylum. So this is their third album without the makeup. This album gets a lot of flack for the glam image that they had, the pastel colors, the sparkly outfits. Kiss wore almost as much makeup in the 80s as they did in the 70s, but it was just a different color makeup. I love it when a band has an image, a flamboyant image. I want my bands to have an image, to have a look. I like that. It's cool. I enjoy it. I don't judge it. I don't look down at it. It doesn't affect how I appreciate the music. In fact, if I see an album cover and the band looks glam, I want to hear it because I'm probably going to like it. But that's my taste. I don't have a problem with how they looked. I don't care. I think it was cool. Whatever. If they had an image, if they were looking outrageous, I like it. Asylum, it's a great sounding record. A lot of great songs. If people are dismissive of Kiss in the 80s, they're missing out. Because Asylum is great. And this is a song I've always really, really liked a lot. By Gene Simmons from Asylum, 1985. It's called Any Way You Slice It. At 19 on my list, this is an obvious choice. The first song Ace Frehley sang with the band, not the first song he wrote for the band, but the first one that he sang from their 1977 album Love Gun, album number 6 for the band. This song has such great riffs. The guitar solo, of course, is one of the greatest ever. Peter Criss is awesome on this song. The song is just so much fun. And as a Kiss fan, you can't not love this song. So this is Shock Me from Love Gun. Shock me.
Pontiac, Michigan youth was reported dead at the scene of a head-on collision on Grand Avenue this morning. The youth was reported to be driving on the wrong side of the boulevard when he struck a delivery truck and was catapulted through the windshield of his car. The driver of the truck is reported to be uninjured. The identities of both men are being withheld by local police. County legislators today are expected to rally to the aid of striking longshoremen in hopes of ending the 9-month
At number 18 on my list, the first song from album number 4. The album was called Destroyer. And Destroyer is often credited as being the best Kiss album, or the ultimate Kiss album, or the most legendary Kiss album, or the go-to Kiss album. For me, it's my least favorite Kiss album up until Animalize, or I don't know. Definitely my least favorite Kiss album of the 70s. Because it doesn't sound like Kiss. It sounds like a Bob Ezrin album. Bob Ezrin tinkered way too much with the sound. And then also, the songs aren't necessarily there. There's some terrible songs on this record. Great Expectations is awful. Not a huge fan of Beth. It's not as bad as Great Expectations. But also not a fan of Do You Love Me at all. So, it's not up to par song-wise. It doesn't sound like Kiss. There's great songs on Destroyer, but the idea that if you have one Kiss album, it should be Destroyer, that is so off-base. That's so wrong, in my opinion. Anyways, at number 18 on my list is the first song on Destroyer, and this is an amazing song. It's called Detroit Rock City. We'll be right back.
by. And the thing I want out of life is...
At number 17 on my list is the first song off the next album after Destroyer. They went right back to the classic Kiss sound with Eddie Kramer producing. Apparently, I think at the time, there was some kind of a backlash, which there should have been, from some fans for Destroyer. Now it's gone down in history as this ultimate piece of work by Kiss, their ultimate artistic, creative accomplishment, whatever. It's just Bob Ezrin tinkering, but Rock and Roll Over, they go right back to the Kiss sound. And this is the first song in Rock and Roll Over by Kiss. It's called I Want You. At number 16 on my list, this is one I know wouldn't make many people's list of their top 20 Kiss songs, but I've always loved this song. I love the melody. I love this kind of song. This is a glam rock song from the 70s, really. It's from Dressed to Kill, which is my favorite Kiss album. It's their third album, came out in 1975, and it was produced by Neil Bogart, who owned their record label, Casablanca Records. Not sure how much he had to do with it, how much the band produced it themselves, but I think it's a great sounding Kiss album, and it has so much personality, and I think they wrote the songs fast, but they were having fun, and these are great songs. I really enjoyed Dressed to Kill. Simple, fun Kiss songs. And this is a song by Gene Simmons from Dressed to Kill. It's called Two Timer.
Tells me she
At number 15 on my list, my top 20 Kiss songs, is the title track from their 1977 album, album number 6. This album has a couple of duds that kind of bring it down if you're ranking the Kiss albums, but it also has some of my very favorite Kiss songs, including this one, the title track. It's called Love Gun. At number 14 on my list is an obvious choice from the first album. This is just, you know, classic 70s rock. You can't deny how cool this song is, and the opening line is just, you know, goes down in history as one of the greatest.
Yeah.
And number 13 on my list, this is a song that was written by Ace Frehley, but it was sung by Gene Simmons. Comes out on the band's second album, Hotter Than Hell, in 1974. A lot of people don't like the production on Hotter Than Hell or how it sounds, kind of a muddy sound. I've always liked it. Like, if you put it on, like when you listen to Got to Choose, the first song, especially if you're listening to it in headphones, it's like you can hear the room that they're playing in. And I always kind of enjoyed that. It doesn't sound as good as Dressed to Kill, but I don't really have a problem with how the record sounds, and the songs are great. There were some other contenders for my list from Hotter Than Hell that didn't make it, like, you know, Mainline is great, Coming Home is great, but this one made my list. Written by Ace Frehley, sung by Gene Simmons, it's called Parasite. At number 12 on my list is another absolute classic, like undeniable how great it is. If you're going to look down at Kiss and say they didn't write good songs, give me a break, because this is a classic from their first album. It's called Black Diamond. Yeah. At number 11 on my list is another one. This one has grown on me over the years and made its way up into my top 20. You know, if I did this list 20 years ago, this one might not have been in my top 20. Probably not, but it's really grown on me. And I've really come to appreciate how great the melody is and how fun the song is. It's written by Paul Stanley from my favorite Kiss album, the third album, Dressed to Kill. I actually played this song on the 8 Tracks episode when I ripped it right from my 8 track. This is called Anything for My Baby. All right, we've made it to the top 10. My top 10 favorite Kiss songs, at least as of today. And at number 10, first song, first album. So there was this song that Gene Simmons wrote called Stanley the Parrot that they turned into this song. And it's called Strutter.
Yeah.
At number 9 on my list, I already raved about Kiss's album Asylum from 1985, and this was the first single from that record. Should have been a huge hit. It had a video on MTV. It didn't really go into heavy rotation. I don't know why. I don't know why this wasn't a hit song, because it should have been. It's great. It's called Tears Are Falling. At number 8 on my list is a song, a title track from an album that Kiss came out with in 1982. A lot of people think of this as their big comeback. A lot of Kiss fans seem to think that Kiss, there was a downward spiral. It started with Dynasty and some of the disco influence. Then they made Unmasked, which is a pop record. Then they made The Elder, which was a concept album. And by the time... they couldn't even tour the U.S. for Unmasked, even though they went over to Australia and it was like Beatlemania. But by the time of The Elder, their career was in the toilet. The Elder didn't sell any copies, and they didn't even tour. And they had a new drummer, and Ace Frehley's also leaving the band at this point. So in 1982, they make a heavy record, a metal record. Everybody loves the drum sound. I agree, it's awesome. But I love Unmasked. I love The Elder, so I don't think of Creatures of the Night as some kind of savior where, oh, it's the return of Kiss or anything like that. It's just another Kiss record to me. But the title track, the first song on the album, is so great, it's undeniable. It's called Creatures of the Night. At number 7 on my list is another song from Asylum, and this is how you write a song to me. This is it's a pop song with a complex arrangement. It's so cool. You know, this is one of those songs that Paul Stanley co-wrote with the hitmaker Desmond Child, and you can hear the Desmond Child songwriting style in this song. But, you know, this is such a great song, in my opinion. Doesn't matter how the band was dressing at the time. You know, people say, oh, they're just trying to be Bon Jovi, they're following trends. Whatever. I love this song. It's called Who Wants to Be Lonely.
I want to say to you.
at number 6 on my list. Now, we're really, at this point, we're really celebrating the brilliant songwriting of Paul Stanley. And this is a perfect example. It's from their 1979 album, Dynasty. And this doesn't necessarily sound like a Kiss song, per se, in terms of what does the classic Kiss song sound like. But this is just a great song. So well put together, so well performed and recorded and everything. The melodies are amazing. So I love this song. It's called Sure Know Something. All right, at number 5 on my list, this is me, this is what I like, and there are not going to be many people that agree with this choice, but this is a song I love, have always loved, and it's all about the melody and the hooks and the chorus. That's what it's all about for me. I don't really have a problem with the production. A lot of people, a lot of Kiss fans even, are very, very dismissive of this record from 1987. It was called Crazy Nights. They don't like the production. They don't like the keyboards. They don't like this. They don't like that. There's some bad songs on this record, but overall, I'm a big fan of Crazy Nights. And this song especially, and it's all, like I said, it all comes down to the melody, which I think is so great. I could just listen to this song over and over and over. I love it. Puts a smile on my face. This is the kind of song I love. It's called Turn On the Night. At number four on my list, we're going to go to Unmasked, the Kiss album that came out in 1980. Another one that a lot of Kiss fans don't like. Many, many Kiss fans do like all these records I'm talking about. But you see a lot of negativity directed towards some of these records, including Unmasked, which, you know, they made a choice in 1980 to go in a certain direction. And for whatever reason they did that, I don't really care. I love the album. Most of the songs are really good. And that's all I care about, really, is the songs. You know, it would have been cool if Kiss made a different kind of record in 1980 as well. But they made this record, and I like it. And I've always liked it since the first time I heard it. Never stopped liking it. And this song is so great that it just transcends everything and is one of my favorite Kiss songs of all time. And it's the first song on the second side of Unmasked. It's called Tomorrow. All right, we've arrived at number 3 on my list of my top 20 favorite Kiss songs. And again, it's another album some people don't like. Kiss doing something different for whatever reason. So they probably made a concept album for the wrong reasons. And once again, Bob Ezrin is there interfering. But the thing is, the record sounds great. And for the most part, the songs are great. Now, if you're going to say these don't sound like Kiss songs, sure, they could have made another Kiss-sounding record. I would have loved that too, but I love this. So, you know, I'm glad it exists. I'm glad they made it because I get a lot of enjoyment out of it, and I have for a long time. As far as the concept goes, they didn't put a lot of effort into the story or the concept. We did a great, fun two-part panel on the podcast last year about this record. So if you want to go check that out, you can hear a lot of great talk about this album from people who really like it. A lot of people like this record a lot. A lot of people don't. You know, the guys in Kiss have been very dismissive of it, but that's because it was a huge failure. And they were probably really embarrassed at the time. But if you just listen to the songs, just listen to them, listen to the record for the songs, without all of the history and whatever else, whatever baggage comes along with this record, if you just listen to it for the songs and for the playing and not for the concept, don't listen to it for the concept. Just listen to it for the songs and have fun with it because it's really good. I love listening to it. It's called Music from the Elder by Kiss. And this was the first song when the album first came out in the US, at least, because the concept didn't really matter by that time. So the record label just switched the order of the songs. So I kind of always think of this as the opening song of The Elder, even though it wasn't supposed to be. But it doesn't get much better than this. For the kind of music I like, this is just so great. It might seem like I'm just being a contrarian and putting songs from Unmasked and The Elder in my top 5, but no. Tomorrow and this song, The Oath, I love listening to just as much or more than all my other favorite Kiss songs. Love these songs. So this is The Oath. All right, at number two on my list. So when Kiss, you know, Kiss's real breakout success was their live album, Alive. They did that after their first three albums. So then they made three more albums, and then they did a second double live album. But they only used songs from the next three albums, not from their whole career. And so if you look at their set list, they didn't really have enough songs to fill four sides with just the songs from the fourth, fifth, and sixth albums. So they did something awesome. I'm really glad this happened. Side four of Alive 2 was five new songs. Well, a cover of the Dave Clark 5 and four new Kiss songs. And it's great. I'm so glad it exists because I love it. And, you know, a couple other songs from that side, Rocket Ride, Larger Than Life, both were contenders for my favorite Kiss songs. They're both up there. They'd be in the top 50, trust me. But one song from side four of Alive 2 is my second favorite Kiss song ever. And it just comes down to, you know, Ace Frehley's not playing on this song. It's Bob Kulick. But I love the guitar on this song. I love the guitar lick. I love the riffs. You know, Paul Stanley wrote this song, and it's fucking great. And, you know, you don't listen to Kiss for the lyrics. So it's not about the lyrics. For me, it's about the song. It's about the riffs. It's about the guitar licks, and it's about the melody and the chorus and all of that. So this is the first song on side four of Alive 2. It's called All American Man. All right, we've made it to my favorite Kiss song, and this has been my favorite Kiss song for a long time. You know, I can always say what my favorite Kiss song is. And you know what? This is just the kind of song I love. It's up-tempo. You know, that's one thing I really love is up-tempo, energetic, adrenaline, and then a great melody. But what this song really revolves around is the riffs. So you've got Paul Stanley writing some great riffs, singing a great melody over it, and it's just really up-tempo and energetic and just fun to listen to. So this is the first song on Love Gun from 1977, and this is my favorite Kiss song. And also, this is the song they opened the set with the first time I ever saw Kiss live, which was on the Hot in the Shade tour at Alpine Valley. It's called I Stole Your Love. All right, so that's going to do it for my top 20 Kiss songs. Feel free to go to Facebook or go to the blog and post your own top 20 favorite Kiss songs or comment on my top 20 favorite Kiss songs. These were my favorite Kiss songs to listen to, the ones I get the most enjoyment and pleasure out of listening to right now. And don't forget to go to www.gofundme.com/rocknpod2018. Chip in $10. Your name goes on the list, and you will get to hear exclusive podcast content that comes out of the expo, and also episodes from the podcast that will be at the expo that you will only get to hear if you chip in at least $10 to the Rockin' Pod 2018 GoFundMe. So please do it today or soon. Don't delay. Toss $10 in the hat for all the podcasts you listen to as a thank you to Rock and or Roll and Decibel Geek and Shabby Road and Pods and Sods and Podkissed and The Hustle and The Double Stop and Tramps Like Us and all the other podcasts you enjoy. $10 in the hat to help us out grow this podcast community. And who knows where we can take it, but we need a little help from the listeners. And hey, don't we deserve it? So go chip in $10. And now to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to play a Kiss song here that didn't make it into my top 20, but that I love and want to play on the show. And what the hell? I'm going to play something from the solo albums because I love the solo albums. In 1978, all four members of Kiss made their own album without the other guys, and they put them all out on the same day. And those are my four favorite album covers of all time. If I listed my top 10 favorite album covers, 1, 2, 3, and 4 would be the Kiss solo albums. And Ace Frehley's album is the best. I love it, but Paul Stanley's album is also great with some amazing songs. Let's hear one from the Paul Stanley solo album. This is called It's All Right. We'll be right back.
I'll be back.